Oh, now Pamela wants to work for me once I have pretty may open.
She's just jealous.
Because seriously, every time, you know, we go to record, the record button's never, you know, highlighted for me to click. It's always, you know, faded out.
Weird.
Yeah, but
Yeah,
now.
that's what happened Monday. It was just faded out.
Yeah, but now it wants to. She sees I got another lady recording program.
Another lady is in the room.
I've got this picture in my head of just that the Swiffer commercial where the mop is gazing longingly
Oh, wow.
Swiffer.
Oh.
That's nice.
Welcome to episode 44 of the Geeks for the Win podcast, and this is basically take two because we had some major technical problems, and our entire show, which on Monday, which went like 2.5 hours long, is gone and disappeared. Lost.
I'm sorry. Don't hit me again. I'm sorry.
That, you know, is my co-host, Stuart.
Known across the internet as Casual Terror.
And I am William, known as PoeticSoul44, and we have one of our writers, Dark DJ.
Hey, everybody.
And we are trying to, you know, like I said, take two, trying to get something out on the feed because, you know, we don't want to lose any more listeners. Seems like our last episode we had a huge drop off. I don't know why, but we did.
I feel like it's just one of those cases where everybody had something going on that kept them away. Like, I had company over that evening, so I couldn't make it to the chat room.
No, I mean like our episode 43. Like,
oh, 43. All right.
Yeah, the downloads.
Downloads are just down this week.
Down like a lot by like 60%. Pretty big percentage, but you know, we keep on going strong and hard and whatever. So I guess we can quickly, I guess, start this off with something new that just came out this week that I have turned into a verb.
I don't think you're the only one, though.
Yes, I know I'm not the only one, but still, I'm, of course, talking about Brink, which came out and, you know, midnight when the embargo was released or lifted and all the reviews came pouring through, people were just bashing it and just, you know, got the whole gaming community worried and, you know, everything was, you know, chaotic, it seemed like, online. And because a lot of people were really looking forward to this game and really hyped on this game. And, you know, it came out, a lot of us got it anyways because we're hardcore gamers and there's really nothing else coming out besides, you know, multiplayer or co-op wise for a long time. So, yeah, I guess we can, I know, Stuart, you haven't played Brink, but I'm sure you may have some questions for us.
Yeah, I have a couple.
Go for it.
Yeah, go for it. Let's start out with that.
Okay. From what I've seen and read, the single player is not really single player. It's just multiplayer with bots.
That's pretty much correct. I mean, from what I can tell, like all three modes, the single player, the co-op, and the versus multiplayer is all kind of just one mode mashed together. And anytime there's not players on either side, it's just bots fill in the gaps.
And I've heard the bots suck.
You know, they do. On both sides, but kind of for different reasons. Like, you'll find the bots on your team not really doing the objectives and maybe, like, not shooting the bad guys when they're supposed to or something. And then the bots on the other side, you know, it seems unfair sometimes. You know, they'll spin around and see you maybe when they're not supposed to see you, and they won't fall for, like, they won't fall for the disguises that one of the classes can do. So it's frustrating sometimes.
Do you think this game is actually worth the $60?
No,
Do you think this game would have been better if it just would have came out, you know, multiplayer only, $40, or maybe $30?
Everything's better with a lower price tag. Come on, that's and, not even a you question,
know,
right?
You know, ask us that next week when everyone has it at $40.
yeah, I'm expecting to see price drops pretty quick on Brink, especially with the you know, the media's reception of it so far as kind of a mediocre game. Like, they're definitely giving it, you know, props where it's due. Like, they're praising it where it kind of deserves it, but, you know, overall it's just pretty mediocre from the media standpoint.
Yeah, and it's not a lot of people are playing it, and I would really say it's not a good game. It's really not. It's the reason why a lot of people are playing it, I think, is because of the community, their friends and whatnot. It's something to play together. But
it's something. That's exactly right. It's something to play together. And I think if you don't have someone to play it with, then maybe don't buy it.
So don't buy it on the PS3?
Well, you shouldn't buy it on the PS3 now anyway. Like, regardless of if you have friends that bought it on the PS3 or not, because you can't play with them.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, man. That's bad news. What's it been, like 3 weeks?
Rumor is till the May 31st.
Yeah, May 31st is what I've been hearing too. I think Sony came out and they said something about, like, oh, that's not quite right. But
when
of course
it completely, when all the features are back up by May 31st.
That is a rough date.
So there may be no PSN store, but there still might be, you know, they still may launch the PSN, but there may not be no store, you know, movie service or whatever.
But what I've heard is that they're not just going to turn the Switch back on. Like, they're just redoing everything. They're just getting
rebuilding their entire system, which, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a better PSN when it comes back up, like, you know, for the user or not, but hopefully there's something.
If they were smart, they'd get Valve to help them out, but the big agent.
I feel like Valve might not want to help. They might be a bit cross that their game launched and then suddenly nobody can play it online on one of the consoles that they were touting as, oh man, PS3 is the one to get it on.
Yeah.
Oh, nope.
Or it may just mean they have more of a, you know, more of a leeway to get Steam integrated more onto the PS3 now, though. It may give them more of that more power to do that.
This month of downtime giving Valve some leverage.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically. But anyways.
Well, okay. what I heard, kind of bring this back to Brink, is that they're going to push an update out really soon for Brink to supposedly make it better.
There needs to be one because, far as I can tell, the Versus is almost like broken with lag.
And with the way with the PSN works, you don't need to be signed into PSN to get the download. Like, it will just, you know, as long as you are connected to the internet, you should be able to get that update. So that's good, at least.
Yeah, because the games run on the companies do their own servers on PSN, but there's no lag. There shouldn't be any lag issues on the PSN since the online doesn't work.
Nobody knows if there's lag issues on the PSN.
It's the most lag-free version. I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a patch day one for something. I'm not exactly sure what it was for, but there was a patch or an update or something.
It took out the true Kim campaign.
Yeah, patched out the actual single player.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There was a robust campaign full of these awesome characters, but day one patch removed it. Don't worry about it.
And now what? Are they going to try to sell that to us as DLC?
Yep.
Uh, I could see that happening if the game.
Oh no, it shipped on the disc.
My ideas.
Quick, D1 patched. Take it out. We can sell it back to him as DLC.
Yeah. But any other questions?
Okay. Well, kind of on that note, would this game have been better, you think, with the true single player, like with the story?
Well, with the campaign story, yes, I think it would. Yeah,
if there was a separate mode for playing by yourself and it had like actual characters with names and stuff, absolutely, it would have been better.
Do the cutscenes before each match, like do you know names?
I am unsure if they give names of any character. Like from cutscene to cutscene, from map to map, I think they're the same characters, but I'm not sure if they give names.
Yeah, I have heard that. I just don't know if they have names.
Yeah, you can see, like, you know, on the security side, I know there's this guy with this specific jacket that runs around, and I mean, he shows up in all the cutscenes, but I don't know if I don't know his name. I couldn't tell you.
Then yeah, well,
do they show up as bots?
Not that I know of.
They show the characters who are actually playing, though, right? Because we saw Fadios as Joker.
Well, there's the opening cutscene where people are talking, and there's the scene at the end where, like, you see the team winning, and I think those are different situations. Because, we have seen player models in cutscenes before, sort of like Killzone 2 would do or whatever. But, I mean, it shows the model but not the name, and Killzone showed the name, but all the models look the same, I guess.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, Fadios was the very distinctive. He had, you know, green spiky hair, and he was trying to do a Joker impression on his face. So you could see him in his prison shirt or whatever he had. You know, he was standing out pretty clearly.
Okay. Well, how was the custom creator?
You got problems here too?
Well, it's all right, but it just doesn't go real. It doesn't go too deep into it.
It goes deeper than almost any game out there.
Yeah, but I mean, there's like what's it called? Like the good cop. There's the good cop like jacket and pants and, you know, glasses and stuff like that. And you can mix and match. Basically, they're just different outfits that you can mix and match.
Were you expecting more than that, based on media hype beforehand?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, what were you thinking they were putting in there? Because all I ever thought it was going to be was cosmetic stuff.
Well, I was thinking I was hoping there would be more, you know, advanced into the cosmetic stuff.
Oh, you're talking like RPG level facial reconstruction stuff? Is that
sliders
what you're looking for?
Sliders and all that.
Yeah, sliders for your chin size and your ear length.
Just the way people were hyping it up. I mean,
cheekbones.
Just the way people were hyping it up on all the podcasts, because I really tried to stay away from all the, you know, videos, diaries, and stuff like that, because it seemed like they came out with like 6 a week.
Oh, it seems like you didn't do a very good job then of staying away from that stuff. If you got all this excited for it, like, you know, I had heard about it and I had seen a little bit of stuff on it, and I thought, hey, this could be kind of cool. And then I heard that most of the community was picking it up, so I picked it up too. So I didn't go in with super high expectations or anything. And I think that the end product is it's all right. You know, I'd maybe give it like a 7 out of 10 or something.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what I would give it.
Okay, well, you know, a 7 out of 10 is not a terrible game. It's just maybe don't spend $60 on it. Wait until it's a little bit cheaper, like I think it's going to be in the coming weeks.
Oh, so I wouldn't have doubted it. It'd be a smart move for them to do, since it's gotten, you know, this big hit with the, you know, I guess you would say the hardcore gaming community with who look at reviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that was on the fence and went out looking at reviews is going to be knocked off the fence onto the side of not buying Brink if they were, you know, wavering about it. But maybe a price drop will bring them back over to Brink's side and have them pick it up and join the community.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they need to do like free DLC. I really think that would help out a lot.
It would definitely smooth things over, I think, with the community. If they got a patch out that fixed the lag issues, and if they put out some kind of free content as DLC, I think it could go a long way.
Something that's different than what's already on the, not just another couple maps where you do the same missions, because it seems like you do the same thing on every single map, just about. I don't know. It just like DJ said, it all seems like it's clumped. It's the same, basically, all of it.
You know, it's, you know, they define it story wise or mission wise on a different basis, like, but you're still doing the same objectives. Whether you're hacking a ventilation system or you're hacking a safe, you're still standing in front of the thing waiting for a bar to fill up.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, what my main complaint is. It, you know, I've done this before. We've done this 6 times. How many times are we going to do this? I don't know. I just thought the gameplay, there'd be more, you know, there'd be a variety.
No, you can just stop there. You expected more. A lot of people expected more.
And as far as how it feels, I've said this before while we were gaming to other people, but to me, it feels like a PC game. Playing a PC game on a PC with a 360 controller.
Yeah.
You know, it hurts, but it's just, it just feels like it just feels like it wasn't meant for the controller. I mean, it works, you know, all right, but a mouse and keyboard just seems like it would be so much better.
I think you're definitely running into that issue more than maybe some other people because you're playing medic, so you're trying to make sure you're reviving the right people at the right time.
Oh, that's horrible. DJ will be down, and I'm trying to revive him, and someone will be right next to him, and I'll inject them with, you know, give them a health boost, and it's like,
yeah, I think maybe the best solution to that is just mapping them on different buttons, and they didn't do a great job of that.
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting that you say that, because yesterday I listened to the to Major Nelson's podcast, and they had an interview with one of the guys from what was it, Sledgehammer?
Splash Damage.
Sledgehammer, different game.
Sledgehammer's doing that Call of Duty thing.
Yeah, yes. Open out. Yeah.
Yes, that's with the guy from Splash Damage, and they were saying that when they were developing the game, instead of, you know, playing with a mouse and keyboard to test it, they were using Xbox 360 controllers connected to the computer to actually test it.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's one way of making sure that you can at least, it, you know, that the controls aren't ridiculous on the 360, but I still think that the putting all actions on the X button is kind of a problem.
I mean, the fact that it was actually developed kind of for the PC but then ported to the console, just because, I mean, he didn't say that they tested it on like a debug 360. No, they tested it on the PC using a 360 controller.
And that's exactly what it feels like to me. I mean, even playing as a different class. I mean, I didn't start as a medic. I started out as a soldier at first. And
well, okay, how do the different body types feel with the different classes in that? Like, have you guys changed body types?
I played light for a little while, but the light body type takes more damage than the medium or the heavy, obviously. So I didn't stick with it for too long. Supposedly you can jump higher and you're more agile and stuff, but I haven't messed around with it too much to tell. I've just kind of stuck with the medium.
I heard that you can wall jump with the light.
You can wall jump with the light, but I haven't sat down with it long enough to actually get the hang of wall jumping, so I'm kind of just flinging myself all over the place if I try and wall jump right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I've just stuck with medium because I've heard people say the light, there's no reason, and the character just looks too weird when it's light, when you use the light.
Yeah, he looks he looks anorexic or something.
He looks like Christian Bale in that one movie.
In The Machinist?
Yeah, The Machinist.
Yeah. There you go. I know a couple people have been messing around with heavy body type. Mongo Bear and Paladin, I believe, are using heavy body types. And they seem to like it fine, so I don't know.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I think that's all I got for right now.
Do we want to talk about the challenge system any?
I guess we can. What, there's 4 different challenges, and there's 3 levels?
3 levels for each of them, yeah.
Each of them, and you can't just go straight to the third level. You gotta, you know, complete the first, and then you unlock the second, and then...
It's weird the way it's set up, because as far as I've heard, well, I mean, you can play the challenges with up to 4 people if you want to, But I've heard that, like, the reason you play the challenges, I guess, for the most part, is you unlock weapon attachments for your guns, like the sights and the grenade launchers and everything else. But as far as I've heard, I know a couple people have gone through challenges in co-op and then not unlocked anything afterwards, so maybe you can only unlock that stuff in solo, which seems like a huge mistake.
Yeah, and the challenges are just, I mean, I was able to get through, you know, 1-star and 2-star, you know, 2-star got a bit difficult for some of them. I can't, you know, 2-star, or I can't 3-star really any of them, but the parkour, I was able to 3-star that, but the others, I can't. It's just too difficult, because when they do the difficulty, they don't make the AI smarter, they just make them, you know, tougher.
They throw more at you, and they make the bullets hurt more, is what it is, which is, it seems like lazy development to me. But, I mean, they're bots, so they're already, you know, pretty accurate with their shots, so it's not like they could do anything with that, so I don't know. I've managed to 3-star, the parkour one, and then the escorting the robot mission, I 3-starred that one this morning. But they're tough. It almost seems like they're easier on your own, because you have, at least for the objective mission, you have AI teammates, and when we were playing co-op the other day with Paul, I don't think we had any AI teammates, so it seemed tougher.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I'm enjoying it, but I don't think this is definitely not going to be a big, you know, the next, you know, big game that replaces like Call of Duty or Halo or whatever. Not definitely not, but it I think it will be a game where, you know, the patch comes out, the DLC for it comes out, we pick it up, we play it, try it, you know, come back to it every now and then, but I don't know.
It's going to be a game that lives and dies by the community. If the community stays with it and stays, you know, active in the game, then it's going to stay alive. Otherwise, but if they move on to the next big thing, then I think it's going to be in trouble. I mean, I know there's – the last game Splash Damage did was Enemy Territory Quake Wars, and I know there's still a pretty close following for that. That's kept it alive over the couple years since it came out. So, you know, maybe they're hoping for that with Brink. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. So, definitely. If you're having doubts, unless you really want to play with, you know, the community and you have a lot of people you know have it and can play with, I really wouldn't suggest picking it up right now. I'd wait a week or maybe two, and because I'm sure, you know, look at Portal 2. That game did so well, got such great reviews, was, you know, and it dropped in like two weeks.
Yeah, it dropped to 35.
Yeah, so I'm definitely sure that if they're smart, they'll drop Brink down in price.
Okay, I have one more question. Okay, Brink on the 360 or Team Fortress 2 on the 360? Which one would you get?
I would never play Team Fortress 2 on the 360. But that's because I have played the PC version, and now I cannot go back to what the 360 version still is. There's just been so much change to Team Fortress over the years on the PC, and as far as I can tell, the 360 version has not been patched since day one.
Yeah, I did tweet out, like, when the whole, you know, bad reviews were going out, I was like, Valve, just give us Team Fortress 3 already.
Yeah, you know, but if they announce Team Fortress 3 now, it'll come out a decade later.
Yeah.
no one Valve.
Well, look how quickly they got Portal 2 out.
Yeah, but between Team Fortress 1 and Team Fortress 2, it was like a decade-long wait. So I would have to imagine Fortress 3 is the same thing.
Between Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2.
Yeah, I mean, Left 4 Dead and Portal are the only series they have that have had sequels in a timely manner.
Yeah, but I really don't have much to say. I know Henry will want to talk about this next week too, since he's playing it, and I think he's enjoying it. Really? I haven't really talked too much. I don't think I've really talked to him too much about it. I mean, him and I stayed up real late with, who was it? I think Forgetful, we stayed up till like 1:30 playing it on the day it came out, or the night it came out, whatever. So I'm not sure whether, you know, that says something, I guess. I don't know. I'm just, you know, playing with friends. That's basically what I'm doing, and because I love co-op games, so.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm having a lot of fun when I play it. There's just, you can see a lot of the issues and where it fell flat in terms of development and things that could have been a lot better. But there's still a good game in there if you can look past that stuff.
Yeah, and I can't remember who said it. Somebody said this. It feels like a mode, like it's a specific mode on a game, like for a multiplayer feature.
Yeah, it feels like a very good multiplayer mode for a larger game.
Yeah. But it just doesn't feel like a whole game. It just feels like a mode. And I really think it would have done, you know, amazing if it would have been like an Xbox Live arcade game.
I like how you put it on Twitter, William, when somebody asked you how it was treating you.
Oh, it's like an abusive girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Always putting you down, but y'all.
But you just keep crawling back.
Yeah, you just stick with her for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of comparisons to be drawn between this and something like Shadowrun that had, you know, again, with Shadowrun, you had no single player campaign to speak of. The only single player there was just playing with bots. And I mean, that was even less of a product, I think, because you didn't even have objectives. You were just kind of playing deathmatch or capture the flag.
Well, the bots in that one were at least decent.
That's fair. The bots in that were all right. And, you know, and to be fair, I did not get any lag when I played Shadowrun multiplayer online.
Yeah, and there is no deathmatch, is there?
No, it's just, as far as I can tell, it's just straight
like
objective
stuff. Yeah, so, you know, there's not even deathmatch in it, which a lot of people, you know, they like their deathmatch. They want to just kill.
How can you have a first-person shooter multiplayer game and not have deathmatch?
I'm trying to think if there's any kind of precedent for it, and I can't really think of one. Shadowruns, I guess. Well, no.
You put out Brink. That's how.
Still had a deathmatch mode. You pull a Brink. That's how you don't have a deathmatch mode.
Yeah. but you know, going to a much better co-op experience, Call of the Dead, which is on the part of the Escalation map pack, $15, 360 for now, I guess. On the PS3, whenever if the PSN comes back by the time the exclusive deal is over with, I don't know.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a timed exclusive right now, yeah. So even if the PSN was up, I don't think it would the Escalation DLC would be there. I don't know when that actually runs out though.
Yeah, but which comes first, the timed exclusive running out or the PSN coming back?
I think it's anybody's guess at this point.
Yeah, but and I kind of talked a lot about this during our first recording and
during the show that no one will ever hear.
Yeah, except for like what was it, Lazarus Vector? He was like the only one.
He was the only guy that made it to the live show.
Yeah, so we did a whole show just for him. It seemed Ace came
at made it towards the end.
Yeah, but you know, we talked about it. It's the like first of the zombie games to have actual like people, like celebrities in the games. It's got, you know, Michael Rooker, Danny Trejo, Robert Englund.
Robert Englund, you say. Fascinating.
Yes. No John in this game. And
it's not his brother? His brother John, are you sure?
Sarah Michelle Gellar and George A. Romero as the big zombie boss. And basically, we played like I looked at my Raptor time, and I looked at Paladin's Raptor time, and it was almost his was almost 30 hours for the week.
We've been putting in a lot of time.
Yeah, because you know it has an actual like mission type thing where you have to do steps, and you actually have something you're working towards besides killing zombies.
You don't have to do it, but it's something to do, which is nice. Well,
yeah, that definitely.
I mean, but, you know, in the main game, it was always just turn on the power and then survive as long as you can. Or, you know, I guess in Ascension, you could launch the rocket and then survive as long as you can.
It was always, you know, kill zombies, earn points, spend those points on guns to kill more zombies, and rinse and repeat.
Yep. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just, you can only do it so long, I guess.
I've done it so long. I mean,
I've done it for my fair share, too.
Yeah. Hundreds of hours. But, yeah, I know. It's a little sickening, but I'm definitely loving this because, it, you know, the characters, some of the things they say is just brilliant. I mean, especially if you're a fan of what the actors have previously done, like Sarah Michelle Gellar, she says stuff that's, you know, Buffy related, or, you know, the way she talks is almost the same way she talked when she was playing Buffy.
Well, yeah, she's playing a very sarcastic role, and that, and, you know, spitting out lines of snark is kind of what you expect from Buffy.
Yeah, and you got Robert Englund, who says just, he never stays, you know, one type of personality. It seems like he's changing.
He seems super manic in Call of the Dead, like he's schizophrenic or something. Just
like he'll be around, like, and then he'll go, himself. "I'm your worst nightmare." He'll scream that while he's killing zombies, and just it's pretty funny. Danny Trejo, I don't think he really says too much.
He has some good lines. Like, there was one time I revived whoever was playing as Danny Trejo, and he said, "I haven't gotten hit that hard since the 70s. That was a pretty good line.
Yeah.
And you know, there's some random stuff in there. He does a couple of Spy Kids references, which is crazy to me that he's referencing Spy Kids still.
Yeah.
Is it sad that that's the only movie that I've seen him in?
You haven't seen Machete?
No.
Machete's a really good movie.
Definitely.
Didn't he play Machete in Spy Kids?
That could have been his name. I don't know. He played the kid's uncle, right?
Yeah, and like I think his name was like Machete or something like that.
As far as I know, it absolutely could be. But
I thought Machete was born from the Grindhouse movies because that was a trailer.
Yeah, it was a fake trailer.
Yeah, it was a fake trailer that people just loved, and then they were like, "We can make money off this."
Yeah, Dan Trejo's been doing some games lately. I mean, first Fallout New Vegas, and then this. It's good to see more celebrities getting into it. I think, like publicists or something are encouraging people to get voices in games instead of discouraging it now, which is good.
Definitely. And then Michael Rooker, he says some pretty funny things. What's your favorite line of his, DJ?
Oh, I cannot remember.
Oh, you kept saying it all the time.
I did.
We were playing.
What?
It totally was Machete.
Oh, that's wow.
Incredible.
That is incredible. But the something about the hallelujah, about the fog clearing, or
yeah, there's a the level for Call of the Dead has a, you're outside in the snow, so every once in a while you'll get a heavier snowstorm, and then it'll clear up again, and the characters usually comment when the fog clears up and when the fog starts to roll in.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool thing in itself. I mean, it's got weather environments that actually affect the way you play. It's annoying, you know, especially when a round starts and you really can't see in front of you. But I think it shows how, you know, detailed they went into this. And it's a huge map. It's pretty big. A large portion of it takes place on a giant boat.
Yeah, there's a big Soviet-looking boat that you have to go to switch the power on, and then there's a big lighthouse, and there's all this area around the lighthouse.
And they actually used the zip line and made it, you know, useful. Unlike the First Strike map pack, Kowloon?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that the map? The multiplayer map?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kowloon, I think it was.
Yeah, but they actually made it really useful. I mean, we use that thing, like, so much.
Yeah, that's basically our late-game strategy, is to go hang out by a zipline and then take it when things get hairy.
And Paul will not listen to us.
And Paul will be in his room, and then he will come outside and fall down a hole and then get down.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And the mission type thing is basically helping the original characters from the zombie game, the original zombie modes, helping them like get to paradise because they're like trapped in a room and you've got to do all this crazy stuff for them. And it took us so long to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, I don't know how some of these people are figuring out this stuff, because I don't think I would have ever gotten it on my own. But you looked up something online that showed us I mean, we got probably halfway through it and then couldn't get any further. And then someone somewhere put up some kind of video that helped us get through it.
Yeah, I mean, like in the lighthouse, there are like four dials that you have to turn a certain way. And whenever you turn one dial, it moves the dial like above and below it or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. It moves the dials adjacent to it. So you have to do it in a
certain order. And the way you find what numbers to put in. Well, the way I found it was I looked online, but the way the people who posted it found it was there's little pieces of paper on the floor, like all around the map. Like there's like four different little pieces of paper that have numbers in different colors. So it's pretty crazy. Some of these people.
What do the numbers mean? What do the numbers mean?
But it's pretty crazy, and you know there are some pretty fun achievements. I mean, there's two achievements tied to that if you do it multiplayer, and then there's an achievement to kill Romero, and there's an achievement to
there's two new weapons, and there's an achievement associated with both of those.
Yeah, and one of the weapons turns the zombie back into a human, a suit-wearing human.
Yeah, it turns him back into some businessman from the 50s, and the zombies will go chase him for a little while, which is pretty cool.
Or I've seen him, like, when it's the crawler, I shot the crawler, or someone shot the crawler to see what would happen, and he ran straight to George, and George killed him.
I guess we haven't really talked about George, have we?
Yeah.
But he's just this big, 10-foot-tall... terrifying zombie carrying a sparking stage light, like Thor's hammer coming down on you, and he'll just follow you across the whole map, just plodding along until you shoot him, and then he'll get mad and come smack you across the face.
Yeah, and I kind of said this in the first recording.
Man, you can't keep calling back to it. It doesn't exist anymore. You just got to move on.
Well, it reminds me of like the classic horror villain who was always real slow, and then, you know, the protagonist would do something stupid, and you know he would catch up to him and sneak up, and because that's what then sometimes if we're not paying attention, you know, all of a sudden George will be right near us. And
yeah, you would not think that a 10-foot-tall moaning zombie would be that sneaky, but he can definitely get up on you if you're not careful.
He's a sneaky bastard.
the sneakiest glowing blue zombie I've ever seen.
Definitely. But, I'm definitely having a lot of fun with it. And, you know, there's more achievements to get and more people picking this up. I know Iridium, he just picked the map pack up instead of getting Brink. And he's asked if we wanted to play it later tonight. I don't know, maybe. And I know you've got it. You got the map pack, right, Stuart?
Yep. But so, I have not played. I've played enough of Call of the Dead to see the cutscene.
Yeah, the cutscene is really good.
That's all I've seen.
Well, it's not too difficult to get into it. I mean, you know, especially if you're new, because
I was going to say, Paul had not played a lot before Call of the Dead, and then we just had to teach him the things that you should and shouldn't do over the course of a couple matches, and now he's, you know, apart from, you know, the aforementioned falling in holes, he does pretty well for himself.
Yeah, whenever he listens to us.
When he follows advice.
That seems to be the bit that was the biggest problem.
Paul just doesn't listen sometimes. We'll tell them, hey, we're going to the zip line. And then
where are you guys at?
We'll go down the zip line, and he won't. And then he'll go down. And then where'd you guys go?
Definitely having a lot of fun with it. For me, this has definitely, you know, that I've gotten my money's my $15 worth with just this alone. And I honestly, I don't see myself playing the multiplayer because no one really is playing Call of Duty. I don't know.
You know, I've kind of moved on from Black Ops onto other stuff. I mean, at a certain point, you're either playing a current multiplayer game or you're going back and playing an older one that nobody's playing. And if I'm going to go back and play an older multiplayer game that none of my friends are playing, it's not going to be Black Ops. It's going to be something like Shadowrun or Bad Company 2, where I can still have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, definitely. But lots of fun. And like I said, I'll be playing this a lot. So if you want to play, just hit me up. You know, just let me know. And also, I wanted to mention that Paul and I were actually featured on Xbox Canada. We wrote
what?
Yeah,
I did not hear about this. I need to go look.
I did not either.
You not see the link in the show notes?
There's just a link for Call of the Dead. I assumed it was just the trailer.
No. It's the link to Xbox Canada, where Paul and I both were featured and told them what we thought of it out of like four people.
I see that now. I don't know why you're being featured in Xbox Canada. Paul's being featured in Xbox Canada.
I told the dude, hey, I'm American, but you know, here's my opinion, and if you can't use it, that's fine. But he put it in anyway, so you know. I even tweeted, hey, Ma, look. I said, hey, Ma, Palladian and I are on Xbox Canada.
Was this tweet?
I must have missed it. I apologize.
Or look, Ma, whatever. But when was it? I don't know. Earlier today, because I saw it and was like, holy crap, he actually put me on it. But yeah, definitely. I will put that link in the show notes for sure, because it's pretty awesome. And I guess with that, unless there's anything else you want to mention, DJ.
About Call of the Dead, not really. I think we covered most of it. I mean, yeah, it's nice that the dialogue is so on the spot for the characters. It was a nice touch. And I'm hoping that maybe this kind of breaks off in the future, because I know a lot of people that, you know, don't really care about the zombies mode and just kind of want their core Call of Duty. So, you know, hopefully maybe Treyarch will listen to that. Maybe they'll start doing some kind of new standalone project. I don't know. They might not have time for that with their constant Call of Duty that Activision is probably putting them through, but you know, I'm hoping to see more about zombies in the future.
Yeah, definitely, and I'm pretty sure they'll come out with at least a third map pack before, you know.
You know, I'd imagine so. I'm not sure how many World at War. I think World at War got at least three. Yeah, because I know a couple people were going back to that every time a new map pack came out and messing around with the new zombies maps.
And what they could do is, you know, the special or the hardened and prestige edition came with the zombie maps from World at War, came with all of them. So they still got those. They can, you know, put on Xbox Live and, you know, $20 or $15 for all. They could just roll out right then and there.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to imagine that. The whatever came with the more expensive editions must have been just a code, and so it would already be ported over to Black Ops, and they just have to release it at a price. I don't know why they wouldn't do that, because
I
think they would. I think they put out the four from World at War, and you know, I'd pay for those.
Definitely, because I've looked into getting World at War again, and you know, they don't have any. The DLC for World of War hasn't gone down in price at all.
Well, yeah, digital DLC like that rarely goes down in price permanently. I mean, you might see it on sale for a little while, but it's never gone. It's never down there forever. Or, I mean, not never, but more often than not, it kind of just stays where it's at. And there's no, as far as I can tell, there was no re-release of World at War with like a Game of the Year edition like they would do for the original Modern Warfare or anything like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, which, you know, you'd think they would with that, because it had the zombie modes, which was just a huge hit when it released, but...
I guess World at War was the first one with the zombies, right? It's not the second one?
World at War was, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I guess before that, they just did Call of Duty 3, and that definitely didn't have zombie mode.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Modern Warfare 3. Honestly, I probably will just give it a rental if it doesn't have some kind of co-op mode in it.
Oh, it'll have Spec Ops. Or
you think it'll? You think they'll just keep doing Spec Ops? I like Spec Ops.
Yeah, they'll do Spec Ops, and Treyarch will do zombie mode, unless they do a full-fledged game, just zombies, which I would love that.
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people are over zombies, and there was a saturation of zombies for a while, but I'm still on board. I'm still a zombie fan.
Well, I mean, the way the last two maps, you know, Ascension and the Call of the Dead, those have just been amazing. And I mean, those could be standalone, you know, $15 Xbox Live Arcade games.
Yeah, I'd imagine
$15 or $20 even. I mean,
I'm not sure that you could get away with just doing one map for a $15 game. I think if you put them both together, then maybe you'd have something.
Yeah.
But, you know, as it is, people are paying $15 for that plus the four multiplayer maps that they're getting. And I think if you just start charging $15 by itself, people might get up in arms about lack of content.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess we can move on to the next topic. Microsoft is buying Skype, they're buying Skype. This was a rumor.
That's what I heard.
And now it's official. They actually are. This could be really huge if they do it right. I mean, if, you know, Skype, there's, God, 100, and I think it says 170 million users for Skype. So, I mean, and it's worldwide, and we're using Skype right now, even.
Yeah, you know, I really only use Skype for podcasting like this with multiple people, or if, like, something like E3, where a bunch of us just want to get together in a room and talk, we just jump on our computers and...
Watch
the press conference in a Skype chat room, and you hear everybody's reactions. It's cool. I know my mom uses it to talk to her family in Canada a lot with video chat, so, you know, all sorts of people use Skype for all sorts of stuff, so I think this could be a big deal.
Definitely, especially if they can somehow integrate it with, you know, the Xbox.
Yeah, I think that could be the coolest thing, is if Skype makes it to Xbox somehow. I mean, they have the MSN Messenger on there. They have for a long time and haven't really done a whole lot with it. I mean, I don't really use it anymore. But I think if they put Skype on here in any kind of meaningful way, it could be huge.
Well, definitely. I mean, how cool would it be if they could somehow do it where you could be in a, you know, party chat, Skype party chat.
Some kind of Skype party chat hybrid.
Yeah, and, you know, people on the PC can talk to people on, you know, the 360 playing, and it can, you know, because you can have more than 8 people on Skype, so.
Yeah, well, you know, I did get some PS3 co-op in before the PSN went down with Portal 2 with my friend on the PC. And, you know, we were chatting just fine through the Steam system, I guess, that was there or whatever. But so it's definitely – there's definitely possibilities there. It'd just be up to Microsoft to spend the money to implement it.
Definitely. And, I mean, you know, you've got the Kinect, which has the video talk and, you know, the video chatting and stuff like that. I mean, it just seems like they could just – if they could take what Skype was already doing and integrate it with the 360, it could just be huge. It could definitely be a – another, you know, bulletin on the back of the box.
For sure, but I don't know if it seems like this is too late to make it into any kind of spring update. So I think the earliest we'd be looking at it is like October, November, when the big fall update rolls around. Maybe this could be a bulletin point of that, but I don't think they'd roll it out just by itself. I think they'd save it for something like that.
Well, definitely. I'm definitely hoping they can do something with it in the fall. What do you think about it, Stuart? about Microsoft and Skype.
Okay. You can edit this part out. How far have you guys gone? Like, what have you talked about so far?
We just talked about how Microsoft was buying Skype and then what it could mean for Xbox.
That's it. Have you guys made any speculations on what they'll do with it? Or
yeah, we just talked about how maybe they would use the Kinect or the Vision camera to put some video chat on there, and or what they'll do on the PC. We haven't talked about it.
They will.
Okay.
They have already said that it will have Kinect support.
Well, that's good. It's good to hear.
It was in the press thing or whatever.
See, that's long. I haven't read all of it yet.
I haven't read it all either, but I've read people's summaries of it.
you just read a summary about it. You read the Cliff Notes.
Like, tested.com, Engadget, they were all saying the same thing.
Yeah, well, I think that could definitely be cool.
Yeah. Anything else that was said in it? Like any special thing? Like, are they going to replace Party Chat with Skype? I mean, that's what I could see. I could see something like that.
That would be nice. To have someone playing on the PC and being in a Party Chat with people on the Xbox.
Right.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't think that can happen now. I haven't really messed around with the PC interface for games for Windows Live. I know there's a couple games that go cross-platform, but I don't think you can. Maybe you can get into a private chat. I don't know.
I mean, just having Skype in general on your PC.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if there's already some kind of implementation for that. As far as I remember, you can do a private chat with someone on a console, but you can't do a party chat. So you can just talk with two people, I think.
Well, I mean, maybe Skype won't replace the party chat, but be integrated into the party chat.
Yeah. See, I'm not expecting a replacement because I feel like Microsoft wouldn't want to force people to log into Skype with a separate account that's not based on their gamer tag or something.
Well, they could integrate it into it though.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like you could link your gamer tag with your Skype account.
Similar to the way that you link your PSN ID with your Steam account, something like that.
Yeah, or like your Twitter.
Or yeah, Facebook account with it. I guess those interfaces are on 360. I just don't use them very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. One of my big concerns. Oh, go ahead. Is that, you got Skype on all these different, on Android, on the iPhone, all the devices, and I don't know if it's on BlackBerry, but what happens to all those apps?
They will stay there.
They will?
Yeah, they said they're not killing off the non-Windows stuff, but going forward they'll be focusing more on strictly Microsoft stuff.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
So maybe not. Maybe there may not be on future iDevices?
Maybe. I don't know.
Or, they may not be upgraded. They may just be using the same thing.
Yeah, they're probably not going to
imagine there's going to be much improvement, yeah.
What you get is what you have, probably.
I was talking with somebody on Twitter about this, and we were kind of speculating what they'd do. I think it was Hero Superman, because this happened the day Tuesday, the day after we both lost our recording.
Oh yeah, he lost his on his new show.
Yeah, on the same time. So interesting. But we were both saying maybe Microsoft will maybe built in a recording system, actually have a first party recording system.
Microsoft, please don't buy Pamela. Please don't.
Or if you do, just rewrite the entire thing.
Yeah, make it better. Redo the entire program and make it work.
Yeah. I think, it would definitely work better with a, recording Skype, with a first party thing instead of third party like we use.
Yeah, and if they can, integrate that with the Kinect, what they showed with Kinect Avatar.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've said this before. I can't wait to do podcasts on my Xbox.
Definitely.
Someday.
But it's not much really to not much more I have to say about it. You got anything else, you two?
You know, like I said, I don't really use Skype all that much, so I'm not going to be great at speculating what kind of features PC wise could be on the way soon. I think this could be a really cool thing, or you know, it could be a bad thing in some ways that Microsoft has bought it. I think it's just a time will tell type deal.
Yeah, like we don't know a whole lot about like what they're gonna do with it. Just we will know sooner or later.
We don't know what they're doing with it. We just know that they're doing something with it.
Yeah. Well, okay. I will say this. Everybody that's employed at Skype is still at Skype. Like they just changed titles.
Right.
Like, they're now employed by Microsoft. That's it.
Well, yeah. It's just a parent company.
Like you know, the CEO of Skype is now the president of Skype.
Right.
Of Microsoft Skype or Micro Skype or whatever.
Yeah. So basically, they're just getting paid by somebody else.
Right. Paycheck's getting written by somebody else.
Alrighty. Next is something, you know, something that I put down that I thought was just seems really awesome, and I can't wait to own one. Google just had their big Google I/O conference, which they have once a year, and they announced a bunch of Android-related stuff, and they also announced details about their new operating system, Chrome OS, and Chromebooks, basically, which are going to be they announced two different models. One was a Samsung model for like $500, and another was I'm having a brain fart, but I want to say Acer. Like I could totally be wrong, but for $350, and basically it's gonna run the Chrome OS, and there's some pretty cool stuff with Chrome OS. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at the link I put.
You know, I took a look at it. It seems really strange as far as an operating system goes, because it's very strictly web based, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, like you don't have any kind of start bar, as far as I can tell, you know, like you're used to in something like Windows, which seems like it could be really jarring for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it just seems, you know, kind of looking at kind of like the stats of it, it's going to be stupid fast.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yep.
Eight second
boot time is what I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, it's crazy. They've been putting out some kind of open source like testing of it, and I downloaded that and I took a really brief look at it before the show, and it just threw me for a loop that it's just, you know, a full screen web browser almost, and you're not seeing you know, a taskbar at the bottom or the top or anything like that. Yeah. But other than that, I haven't messed around with it too much, unfortunately.
Now they released a version of it where you can install.
There's a I can't remember what the website was off the top of my head, but they've been putting out like daily open source versions of it, I guess, for people to mess around with, and you can, they've got instructions on there for putting it on a USB key. I think you need about two gigs of space. Chromium, yeah.
Yeah, I just downloaded that. I'm gonna check that out, but they come with, like, I think it comes with 100 megabytes per month of Verizon Wireless.
Yeah, it's free. A subscription-based type service.
It's free. It comes with 100 MBs free.
But so, there's more – if you want more, yeah. You're going to pay, right?
Yeah.
Well, or is it only for, like, the first month or like
– No, free.
Yeah.
Free internet.
Well, 100 megs.
Which is not very much.
Well, I mean, for some people, it could be. I mean, well, all you're doing is
if you're not downloading anything sizable, but you know,
and
you know, that's not gonna. I'd imagine that not gonna like transfer to anything else, like not a phone or a Xbox or anything like that.
Yeah, and all your settings and stuff are basically stored on the cloud.
Yeah, all your documents and all your photos and everything else is just stored up in the cloud somewhere.
So you can open up from any, you know, just sign in from any computer running the Chrome OS and, you know, it's your computer right there.
At the front end of the Chrome OS, like when I booted it up for the first time, it asked me for my you know, Gmail email and password to log in. And then after that, you know, it opened up this browser that I was already logged into, and it was kind of cool. There's some cool stuff there that I need to mess around with some more to actually form a big opinion on, but it seems like it could be super cool.
Yeah, definitely. And so, this is a game changer for businesses, I really think. Cause if you lose your computer, you know, they can't take the hard drive out of it and, you know, get all your info because it's not stored on the hard drive.
Right.
Well, from that right there, I mean, it probably won't even have a hard drive. It'll probably just have, like, one of those, flash drives.
Yeah. So, I mean,
like it just kind of holds the OS and that's it.
Yeah. You know, like I said, as far as I can tell, you need, like, 2 gigs for this OS, and that's about it. At least at this stage, there obviously could be more, and it could get more sizable. But as it stands, you know, 2 gigs is all that I need to put it on a flash drive and boot from there.
Yeah, and one of the coolest things I saw, it's not on here, but I saw a video. Well, yeah, maybe the video is on it for the security thing, but it said that the way the security is, it's every tab. Because it's like everything runs web browser, Google Chrome.
Right.
So every tab is separated from the rest of the tabs. So if you're on a site where there's like a virus on that tab, it doesn't affect anything else. It won't affect your hard drive. That tab could crash, of course, but it won't affect you in any way. So, you know, as of right now, it's really virus-free. And I say that as of right now because
right. There's
going to be somebody to
–
the Mac. And
there's always going to be someone trying to bust it, you know?
Yeah, the Mac was supposed to be virus-free and there's viruses for Macs now. So, but I don't know. I'm really excited about this. And, of course, it's got Angry Birds. What device doesn't have Angry Birds?
Well, this is free though.
Yeah.
Angry Birds are free.
Angry Birds are free on Android too.
Yeah, I was gonna say Android's got it free too. it's not the first time it was free.
Yeah, but
for the web though, like for your playing on a full screen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna. I downloaded the Chromium and I just haven't done anything with it. I'm looking at the download right now. Definitely looking forward to it. They said they're going to have by the summer when it because it releases in June 15th, I think. It's going to have Netflix and Hulu support. So, you know, that's big right there.
They're not going to have Microsoft Silverlight, which is what you need right now to run Netflix. Like, they have their own app to run Netflix using HTML5.
Yeah.
I read about that before even the OS was announced.
You mean before this announcement?
Yeah, before
Chrome. Okay, because the OS was announced, like, 2 years ago. This is just the...
Oh, it was?
Yeah. This has just been, like, the you know, we're releasing it in a month. This is, like, the release announcement of, you know... It's finally done. It's coming out in a month. Here's all the features.
Okay, well, what I was reading was it was just Chrome is using HTML5 apps to run Netflix and Hulu. It didn't say Chrome OS.
Yeah, and you know that's basically what Chrome OS is. They designed an operating system around Chrome, and that's why it's super fast. It's because the hardware, which I think dual core is for the laptops, it's dual core, but it's not going to be running a clunky operating system like Windows or, I mean, I love Windows 7 and it's the fastest Windows I've ever, but you know, it is pretty clunky and it does take a long time to boot. And I don't know. I'm just really excited about this and I just thought it was worth a mention, definitely.
What do you think the price point for these Chromebooks are going to be?
The two they announced, one was like $500 for like a Samsung, and it was like, it looks really nice. And I can't remember the other. There's one for $350, but you know, they're gonna definitely probably come out with like netbooks, like Asus with their triple E PC or triple E whatever, and the Acer and all the netbooks that run, you know, Windows 7, you know, 1.6 gigahertz, all that, you know, standard netbooks. They're probably gonna run it.
Okay. Yeah. $300 to $400, I think, would be the sweet spot for these.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I'm wondering when they'll sell the actual OS for us to put on our own devices, because you can get a regular netbook for like, you know, $200 now.
Right.
And if you can just, you know, wipe Windows off it and just put, you know, Chrome OS on it, you saved yourself like, you know, you saved yourself probably $100, so.
Okay, here's something. You know, if everything is stored on the cloud, what happens if, you know, you're in an area that doesn't have 3G or just doesn't have internet at all? You're in a dead zone.
They have, they did, I haven't looked too into details because, like I said, Google announced so many different things for, you know, during their, like, I think it's either 2 or 3 day press conference, and I've been trying to, but they did say they have a solution to store stuff, you know, where you can do like Google Docs and stuff like that offline. They are putting something in where you can do that.
Okay, so these will actually have some type of hard drive and not just, you know, no hard drive and just the flash drive.
Yeah, but they're not. It's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be like a, you know, 250 gig hard drive or, you know, 320 gig hard drive like the standard laptops have now.
Yeah, I feel like the hard drive is just going to be kind of a small local storage space for, you know, if you need to work on some kind of document or spreadsheet or something, maybe while you're on an airplane or something. I don't know, wherever you wouldn't have internet access, and then you need to get some work done. I can't imagine that, like, you know, most business related stuff isn't going to be that huge of a download. You know, give it a couple 50 gigs or something. Maybe less than that. I don't know.
Don't planes have Wi-Fi now?
Some planes, not all planes.
Yeah. Okay. Some planes actually do. The newer ones do. But
I thought most of them did.
last plane rides I've been on haven't had any Wi-Fi.
Yeah, same. But I haven't been traveling.
the last time I rode a plane, Wi-Fi didn't even exist. Huh. So it's been a while for me.
Yeah, and what's really cool is they have I guess they have programs where they can lease them to like schools and businesses. I think $20 a month per laptop to lease to schools, and that includes, you know, hardware upgrades, hardware fixes, you know, upgrades for the software and stuff like that, and basically full support. And I think $28 for businesses. So I mean, right there, they're really trying to go after the corporations who, you know, loan out laptops or to their employees to use for work. I know my dad, he has a work laptop where he does orders and all kinds of stuff from, and I could definitely see, you know, his company doing something like this instead of paying, you know, top dollar for, you know, a top of the line PC, and then they, you know, take Windows 7 out and they put XP in. So I'm like they just did with his new laptop. So I don't know. It's definitely interested, and I know I'll be saving my money for either buying the actual operating system to put on a computer, or maybe even buying a new computer with it. I don't know.
You know, one question that I have is, if you're storing all this stuff in the cloud, they've got to have some kind of data cap, because, you know, all that storing that data does cost money. You know, on their servers, on some server somewhere. You know, everybody says the cloud, but it is, there are, you know, physical servers somewhere that are taking all this data. They're going to have to put some kind of cap on there. Otherwise, people are just going to, you know, store terabytes and terabytes of data up there, and, you know, maybe Google doesn't want to be paying for that.
Oh, and there's no doubt. There's no doubt there's going to be caps. I mean, it's not like you're going to be able to store, like, your entire music collection on there or whatever. I'm sure if you want to store, like, music and stuff like that, you'll have to pay, like, to have different – I'm sure there'll be different tiers for, you know, media and stuff like that. But as far as, like, all the applications and the processing power goes, it's going to be on the server's ends of – you know, it's not going to be on your end. Your computer's not going to be doing all the processing power.
Right.
It's kind of like on live.
Let's test that out, and all of us create like 200 Google Docs with, you know, like 200 pages on it, and see if Google says anything.
That wouldn't take that much.
I was going to say Google Docs are not that big.
Yeah.
I mean not 200 Google Docs, but just, you know, bunches of Google Docs with like 200, 300 pages on them.
I mean, Gmail, you're allowed to have like, I think, seven and some odd number of gigs worth on just your Gmail. So, I mean, that, you know, you can have lots of people sending you lots of attachments and stuff like that just on your Gmail alone. I'm not sure about Google Docs or anything like that, but I mean,
where's my laugh track at? I thought that was funny.
Did you make a joke?
Where's my crickets track?
That was my joke. The 200, the testing, the. I'm going to cry now.
Man, Did you know he was making a joke, DJ?
No, that's what I'm saying. I need to find my crickets.
Yeah.
Get some crickets up in here.
But I heard the crickets.
But I mean, yeah,
every time there's awkward silences, I hear the crickets.
But I'm looking right now, and it says you are currently using 545 MB, which is 7% of your 7,582 MB worth for Gmail. And I have like 4,000 emails, so. And a lot of those are, a lot of it's probably the We Are Geek stuff y'all send me, because I haven't deleted all those yet. But yeah, I think, you know, as far as documents and stuff like that goes, there's not going to be a cap. But well, there might be a cap, but I don't think anyone will reach that cap.
Yeah, I'd assume it has to be. You'd have to work pretty hard to actually hit it. But you know, there's always going to be those people out there.
But as far as like the cloud, like for music, you know, they're doing their cloud music player type service like Amazon has. They're doing the beta right now, and I'm sure there will be different tiers to store your music and other media files, but yeah. Sorry, Stuart. Sorry about your joke failing.
he's just in a sulk right now. He's just
don't talk to me. Just don't talk to me.
He's just sulking because his joke fell flat.
But yeah, definitely probably looking to getting either the software or one of these. But I guess we can move on to the next topic. Doctor Who season 6, and since Stuart said not to talk to him,
I guess he gets to get left out of all the Doctor Who talk. I know that's what he wants, right?
What? Who are you talking about? I don't know this person.
What's this Doctor Who you're talking about? You kids these days.
But yeah, so far they've released 3 episodes of the Doctor Who series, and the 4th one is coming out in a couple days, and it's,
you know, this Saturday, right?
That's, yeah, when they come out. This Saturday. It's called The Doctor's Wife.
Yeah, that one sounds intriguing.
And I guess we can touch on the first 3 episodes real quick, and then jump from there. What did you think? What have you thought so far, DJ? We kind of made our opinions on at least the first 2 episodes.
You know, I've kind of been liking where it's been going so far. I think it's cool that they're doing this whole death angle with the Doctor. You know, I would imagine that it has to get, you know, solved in the next, you know, in the next 10 episodes or whatever they got left. But because, I mean, what, he's supposed to have 13 or 12 regenerations, right? This isn't the last one.
They rebooted the universe, too, so who's to say, you know, they can't just say...
So you think they restarts. Just changed the rules?
Well, who's to say they can't use that as, you know, oh, he restarts since they rebooted the universe.
Oh, from the end of season 5.
We were saying that last year. At the end of last year.
I mean, I'm not saying they're going to. I'm just saying, you know, they left themselves to be able to do
they
that.
Themselves a loophole if they really want to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So this could technically be the first Doctor if they wanted to go that route.
Exactly.
Right.
Which would piss off a lot of old school Doctor Who fans, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I'd imagine so.
I will say that I've been listening to a couple Doctor Who podcasts, and they were saying that's when you know
you're a fan.
Yeah, they were saying that this is not the first time they've done the Doctor is dead type thing.
Right.
Like this is actually a common thing.
Well, I mean,
not to this group.
Even at the end of season 5, I mean, he was dead for 12 minutes or whatever it was. I guess he wasn't technically dead. He just told people.
He just didn't exist.
Right.
Well, and even with David Tennant, they were talking about he was dying and all this and that, and we weren't sure if he was going to actually regenerate or not.
Right.
But, I mean, any other parts you want to talk about real quick on the first... 3 episodes?
I'm not too sure how I feel about this third one. It was kind of cool seeing who was it, Robert Avery, that they showed as the pirate, who is an actual guy, as far as I know.
It's disappeared.
It's one of those deals where you know it's kind of a one off, and it's not going to have a whole huge effect on the rest of the season. You know, there's stuff in there that definitely was, but, you know.
Interesting little tidbit that I heard on a podcast, a Doctor Who podcast, that one of my former boss, one of my old boss does, is that they actually were planning to use this episode, like, later on in the second half of the season.
Right. And that's what I heard, too.
I heard that, too.
I heard that this was not supposed to be the third episode, and then they moved it.
Well, same with the doctor's wife.
Yes, that's correct. I think there's some super cool stuff set up in the first two episodes that's got people all, you know, buzzing about what's going to happen, and everybody's got their theories.
The end of the second episode.
Right, the end of the second episode, you know, who knows where it's going to go. I'm glad that they didn't just drop the idea of the silence and the silence will fall. I know I was talking to, I think it was Cookie before the season started, and I was talking about that, and he had almost completely forgotten that it was actually a thing. So I'm glad that they're still dealing with it, and I think the Silence were a cool alien race.
Definitely. And, I mean, just the I don't know about y'all, but the opening of, like, the first few minutes of the second episode was
where they've got all the tally marks on them?
That, and, you know, you see them all, like, get shot, and then the whole he's building a prison for the doctor, and you think, what the hell just happened? And it was all for a purpose, and it was the doctor's entire plan. And the body, I mean, that was just like, wow.
Matt Smith with the hobo beard was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, one question. Where did Area 51 in the 60s get that material to build that cell?
The government.
Because that was...
You can put up all...
That was some theories. Very strange material.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So, you know, I didn't have a problem with last season, really, on a whole. I know a lot of people, like William and Cookie, both kind of had their issues with it, but I can still watch season 5 and have a good time.
The entire season?
I can watch most of the season. There are worse episodes from previous seasons. Like, the one that always jumps out to me as, like, the episode that I care the least about of the reborn Doctor Who is The Idiot's Lantern, which was this episode, I think, in season 2, about the TVs and some woman inside the TV, and I can never remember anything about it.
Oh, like, I do remember that one.
That, to me, that's the worst Doctor Who episode that has come out of these past five seasons and three episodes.
I cannot watch the first episode.
You cannot watch Rose?
Yeah, I just...
I like the first episode.
Automatons? No, I
can't. Yeah, with the mannequins? The living plastic?
Yeah.
I can't watch the first one with when David Tennant and or Doctor and Donna, the whole, you know, lose weight, fat. No, oh, the whole fat thing with the little...
The one where it's so great when they reunite, though.
Adipose?
The little conversation between the windows. Yeah.
That part's awesome, but when it comes to these little creatures coming out of people's fat, that just got me. That part just grossed me out.
It just grossed you out?
I found online you can buy a stuffed adipose.
An adipose plushie?
Yes, that's what I... Plushie. Yes. I was like, I want one.
Yeah, you know, so I can still watch... the vampires episode wasn't great, and you know I don't like how they redesigned the Daleks.
Victor of the Daleks.
Yeah, there's a couple that I won't go back and that I wouldn't really choose to go back and watch unless I was showing somebody some episodes.
Yeah, I mean I was able to watch them and I was kind of excited. I enjoyed them my first viewing, but looking back at it, I'm thinking, we've had much better.
Yeah, there's definitely better, but all I'm saying is that there's been a couple of worse. Not many worse. And, it's probably the low season for me is season 5, but there's still episodes in there that I like a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
My sisters have been watching season 5 again. I don't know why, but they have. And one of them kind of brought up a question that I don't know the answer to. Amy didn't remember the invasion of the Daleks from season 4. Did they ever answer that? I don't remember.
What's the question? Sorry. Did they remember the invasion of the Daleks is not from season 4, it's from season 5. Oh, she doesn't remember the end of season 4?
She doesn't remember any of the events that happened in, like, you know, end of season 4 and such and you know, whatnot.
Did they ever answer that? And I forget.
I would need to go back. I've seen most of the season 5 episodes only one time. You know, I've seen Amy's Choice a bunch. I've seen Vincent and the Doctor a bunch. I've seen The Lodger a bunch. And I've seen the finale a couple of times. But most of the other ones I think I've only seen once.
Yeah.
So I'm really thinking about
going and back. They haven't done that. And I think they haven't done it for a reason. And they're going to explain it, you know, this season.
You know,
they
always say that Amy's special. They've said that the entire last season. They're still saying it. So, you know,
because her parents did get, you know, like, I guess, consumed by the cracks. And
right.
Once you get consumed, all traces of them are gone. But she did remember them. She did remember her parents. So there is something special with her that.
Right.
She's
not pregnant. She's pregnant. She's not.
Well, there's a big theory on that. The theory I heard on the TARDIS Blend, which is the podcast I listen to, they were saying that maybe with the Big Bang that created an alternate universe, and you know
within her belly.
No, an alternate universe, and like you know. When on this episode, the Pirates episode, that ship, that spaceship was in an alternate universe.
Right.
So maybe, you know, there's an alternate Amy and an alternate, you know, in a different universe who is pregnant.
And they're colliding?
I'm trying to think. Yes, she was pregnant in Amy's Choice, right? But that was just a dream or whatever.
Yeah, that was a dream.
Yes. That none of that actually happened. That wasn't alternate reality or anything.
Yeah, but that's the big theory is that there's another universe and they're colliding somehow, and you know if that's true, who knows what episodes we're watching that's part of which universe.
So my question is, does the Doctor know the results of that pregnancy test? It just the camera just strategically keeps cutting away so that the viewer doesn't know, or does the TARDIS actually not know? And that's why it's still revolving like that. Okay. That's what I think, too.
I don't think... I think it's going back and forth between she is pregnant and she's not.
Right.
I think that's not a scan, you know, trying to determine, kind of flipping a coin, but it's actually doing it in real time.
Right.
Like, that's the way that I take it.
Some kind of ghost pregnancy.
Either that or it's, you know, it's picking up the alternate universe and where there's an Amy who is pregnant and...
Pregnant with some kind of Time Lord baby?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
It's got a time head.
There's lots of theories. There's lots of theories out there.
There's lots of theories, and nobody's going to know for sure until the season keeps going. So, you know,
and
we just got to look forward.
It's not Amy and the doctor kid. It's not their kid.
You don't think so?
No.
But the big question is, who is that little girl, though, at the end of season two, who
said, River.
I'm dying, you know.
Everybody's saying it's River.
It's River.
I'm not going to go along with that. That's ridiculous.
That's a theory, yeah, but I don't know. How is that little girl, you know, one, how is it River, and how is she a Time Lord, if not
the doctor? Since you know season five, there's, you know, people have been saying River is a Time Lord and the Doctor's wife.
Well, so maybe we'll know next episode, which is called The Doctor's Wife.
Yeah, and it's picking a lot. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, excited about this episode, and you know, I've heard interviews with the person who wrote it, and it seems really interesting. And the one thing I'm happy is, you know, I'm tickled to death to see was there's an Ood.
Right.
We see the
Ood
return.
You see him. Yes. You see him. You know, I think I commented that on Twitter as soon as I saw it. But yeah, at the end of the next episode preview, then there's an Ood with he looked green, I think, if I remember right. He had green eyes.
He looked funny.
Yeah, he didn't look like a normal Ood or an angry Ood. So who knows?
Well, the Ood, they progress so quickly, you know, quicker than they should. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm just hoping it's not some kind of misdirection. Like, you know, there was the Doctor's daughter back in season three. I guess it must have been because Martha was there. But mm-hmm. you know, but that was not a daughter that the Doctor had before or anything. I hope she comes back because she launched in the rocket, and I hope she comes back.
Other people are saying that is who little girl is.
But how would that make sense? Because she was born out of a machine. She was born at the age that you see her.
I know, but she can regenerate. She's Time Lord.
So you think she regenerates into a child? Does that happen? I don't know.
Well, the doctor seems to be getting younger and younger as he regenerates.
Yeah, I imagine so.
I don't know. Well, theories, and I'd have to
go back and look at, because I think the one right before Eccleston was pretty young. The ninth doctor was pretty young. The guy with the scarf, right?
Is that
no,
the ninth?
That was actually the fourth. That was the fourth doctor. The guy with the scarf.
Tom Baker.
I'm not sure anymore.
The ninth doctor was that doctor in that Fox movie, the American.
Oh, I'm sorry, not the ninth doctor. Doctor is Eccleston. Eighth is who I was talking about.
Eighth, that's what I mean. The Fox movie, the USA or the United States made Doctor Who movie that was supposed to be so terrible. I've never seen it because I'm just afraid to.
Okay, I'm looking at pictures of the eighth doctor.
The Master is in, and he's the Terminator.
This sounds awful. All the words you just put together sound awful.
Oh, and he's part, and instead of a robot, he's lizard.
So he's like Reptile from Mortal Kombat?
like part of his face comes off, and like, you know, the Terminator, you know, instead of metal underneath, it's lizard.
Everything you're saying still sounds terrible. I'm going to go back to my world where the Master is not part lizard. And just move on with my life.
Speaking of
and
the Master.
Fell into the eye of the TARDIS.
Yeah, speaking of the Master, I heard in a Doctor Who roundtable on the Nerdist podcast that Stephen Moffat, someone asked whether the guy who plays Sherlock, would Moffat ever consider him being like the new Master? And Moffat was saying the guy who played, you know, David Tennant's Master, he told Moffat he would continue to be the Master as long as he would let him. So I don't know. Maybe we'd see that again.
There would have to be something special to bring the Master back, because the whole idea was that he died so that the Doctor would, or so that he would win even in death. So that they'd have to do something fancy.
Well, the Master's been coming back, you know.
Well, he came back in the end of time, right?
Yeah,
I have not watched the end of time in a long time. I think,
but
I've only
the Master
it
was
time.
From the old Doctor Who series too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And he did have more than 13 regenerations. Huh. They did find some way to start him over again.
Yeah. No way am I gonna go watch the old stuff anytime soon.
I've seen a couple.
Yeah, I've seen a couple, and I didn't like what I saw.
Well, there's a couple doctors who I've heard are just you got to watch, but I definitely wouldn't go back to the very first Doctor, black and white. You know,
right.
Uh-huh. That's a no. But you know, I keep hearing a lot of good things about Tom Baker,
Peter Davis.
Yeah,
those two.
But any other stuff on Doctor Who?
No, I think I said what I needed to say.
Alrighty, Stuart, you?
I think I'm good.
A little tangent on Doctor Who. I'm looking forward to the new Torchwood series.
Yep, I'm still.
Any new news about that?
They've got to have more than just the two characters. Obviously, I mean they're two strong characters, but they still need new people. Uh-huh.
The president from Independence Day is going to be playing in it, and some other people I can't remember. But as well, and do you know the premise of what it's going to be about?
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
It's called,
I haven't heard anything.
The Miracle Day, and it's the promo, whatever, is like on whatever day, you know, the certain date, people stop dying.
That sounds cool. I'm intrigued. Yeah.
And the big thing is, you know, Captain Jack, he can't die. So
right. That's
what probably brings him back. Maybe he's coming back to see if there's any, if it has anything to do with him.
Right.
So, I mean, besides that, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be on Stars and, you know, BBC and whatever. So I think just the regular BBC, not BBC America. In Stars in America, but yeah, I'm definitely.
I have got free Stars for a year, so that's good news.
And it's going to be coming out in the middle of the Doctor Who, you know, hiatus, whatever, break.
So
I am seeing July 8th.
Yeah, so just a little after the Doctor Who first season break, whatever. And so, I mean, basically, if you're really a Doctor Who fan, you got the first half of Doctor Who, you got Torchwood, you got the second half, and then you've got the Sarah Jane Adventures. If you're a really big Doctor Who fan,
well,
how are you going to do Sarah Jane?
Sarah Jane without Sarah Jane?
They did. They already did a lot of the.
I would imagine they filmed a couple of episodes already, but you can't go on very long, I'd imagine.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. They said they're going to continue it, but it may just be like, you know, those kids or whatever. I don't know. It may just be a different name, or I don't know.
This Sarah Jane's kids, yeah.
I don't know.
See, you know, I don't think I've seen one episode of the Sarah Jane Adventures.
I've seen the one with David Tennant and the one with Matt, or the ones with David Tennant and the ones with Matt Smith, and that's it.
Uh huh.
I saw the first episode of Sarah Jane.
You know,
that was all I needed.
You've got to watch the one with David Tennant and Matt Smith. Though those are actually pretty good, mainly because it's David Tennant. You know.
Well, I know Cookie keeps up with it. And he enjoys the show as far as I can tell. So maybe I need to look into it more.
It's a kid show. It really is.
Right.
And I mean, even though Doctor Who is supposed to be a family show, it's a lot more kid oriented,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, Doctor Who for a family show, You know, that's kind of hard to think, because there's some dark stuff in Doctor Who.
The way you're describing it as a kid's show, I keep thinking Sarah Jane turns the camera and says, "Can you see the Dalek?"
Oh, my God. I don't know. Maybe she does.
We can beat this Dalek with friendship.
The David.
You got some kind of catchphrase that she tells the kids to say.
The David Tennant one's basically David Tennant, and, you know, the kids are trapped somewhere, and, you know, there's not really much of Sarah Jane in it, I don't think, if I remember correctly, so.
Well, you know, I liked the episode, what was it, School Reunion, I think it was called.
Oh, that was a good episode. Yeah.
Well, really, I only like it. I like it most because Giles is in it.
Yeah,
that's a big part of it.
If you look at the story itself, not that great.
Yeah, it's one of the one-offs. It's really, to me, it's just to introduce Sarah Jane and K-9 into the... Yeah.
And Nicky realizes he's the tin dog.
Yeah, he realizes he's the group's tin dog.
Now it's Rory.
Yeah.
Not so much. I mean, you know, because...
He's not... I mean, Rory travels with them, at least. Like, Mickey got to go on, like, two trips.
Yeah, and, I mean, Amy, you know, she has chosen Rory over the Doctor, so...
Right.
Yeah. And I do like that about this season, is they're stressing more that Rory and Amy are married.
Right.
They are together.
They're, like, they're the first married couple on the TARDIS, even.
I want to say no.
I want to say yes, because that's what my old boss, who does the TARDIS blend, and he's watched every single Doctor Who episode ever.
Except for the lost ones.
I guess, yeah. But he's watched all of them, all of the ones that are watchable, from what I can tell. And that's an impressive feat, because some of them, I can't watch some of them. I tried watching the old ones. I mean, I rented the very first Doctor, you know, the first disc from Netflix, the first couple episodes. They were just brutal.
If you want to watch one of the earlier episodes, I've heard to watch the Five Doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that one's good.
I've heard that one's awesome, but it's not on Instant Watch, sadly.
Missed opportunity.
That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for it to be on Instant Watch. But I guess, you know, that's basically our show. Unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about real quick, or
next week's I recommend is Eureka.
That's a good show. I also recommend Eureka. It's a good
show. Yes,
it's on Netflix.
Yes, it is.
Yes, and. Last week, or the last episode, we talked about the Spider-Woman, and basically we all kind of liked it, and we're confused at the beginning, and then they explain stuff, and yeah. I think we all kind of liked it, though.
That takes that 30 minutes of us talking down to, yeah.
Just condense that half hour about it into a minute.
You know, we are the Geeks for the Win podcast, and you can find us at thegeeksftw.com on Facebook and Twitter. Just search, just search for us, the Geeks FTW. If you want to send us an email, you can do that, thegeeksftw@gmail.com. iTunes reviews, we won't say no to any of those, and... you know, Android app, of course. I don't think no bonus content this week. I don't think that many people will be too upset. Five people who bought it.
If we ever find the lost episode, that's the bonus content.
Yeah, definitely. But
we won't. It doesn't exist.
The bonus content was for live stream users only this week. It was a full episode of the Geeks for the Wins.
Yes, that's right. Lazarus Vector, that episode is dedicated to you. But, and, you know, we're part of the Open Forum Radio Network. There's tons of podcasts. You can go to openformradio.com to check out all of them. And they just added a couple new ones, I think. Truthfully Geeking and something else. I can't remember. Some movie podcast. I can't remember the name.
I guess that's our opinion is Heroic Superman, right?
Yeah. So
that's Gamer Husbands related.
Yes, they're on episode 2.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that Gamer Husbands?
And they just released it today.
Heroic. I don't know. I don't know what he does.
PGR.
Well, no, he does PGR, right?
Yeah. That's okay. Just a separate side thing they
right.
decided to do.
It's not tied into any kind of network or anything.
Not that I know of, but yeah.
But that's definitely a thing that people should check out.
Yeah,
definitely. Check them out.
They're on episode 2.
They had some misfortune as well and had to do a take 2 on their episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
Pamela causes lots of problems. So I guess shout outs. Stuart?
Shout out to Dark DJ for joining this on take 2. Shout out to Anthony Alex because he survived a tornado, so he deserves a huge shout out.
Oh yeah, right.
And he even called in. He called our voice line just kind of to say that he's alive.
What yeah. a champion!
And I'll put that at the end of the show.
Okay.
So well, you'll get to hear that. I think he got cut off too. I think he was going to say something else.
Yeah, he did because it just kind of stops.
And it's really funny because I got an email of I guess what he supposedly said, and it was
transcript was hilarious.
Yeah,
because it was nothing close.
It was nothing close. But I think whenever he said you, it spelled Joe. So there was a bunch of Joes in there, and I'm like, Joe? Who's Joe?
Who are we talking about here?
When I'm reading it before I was able to actually listen to it, I'm like, who the hell is Joe?
JVB? What?
Maybe? I don't know. But yeah, definitely big shout-outs to that, to him. Is that it?
Shout-out to Sean McKeever, because he was at the free comic book day and where I live.
Yes.
So I've got a couple more comics signed by him because he was there last year and I got comics signed by him. So
that was another conversation that's lost. Another long conversation. We like comic books. We got a bunch on Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
There's another condensed 40 minutes.
Oh, longer than that. I think we actually took like an hour on that one.
Man, it's a shame because there used to be a comic book store right on the corner from where my apartment complex is, but they shut down probably a month or two ago. But before that, I could just walk down there and get comics if I really wanted to, which was nice. But now I have to drive somewhere and get them.
There used to be a comic in my town, a comic store in my town, but it shut down. But all the stuff's still there.
Oh yeah.
So you know, if you like peek in the window, you see, you know, comic books along the wall and action figures still there. I'm like, what's stopping you from just breaking in?
Yeah, it's like, definitely. I don't know. If that was me, I'd try to get a hold of the owner somehow, and you know, or the people who lease the building out, because if they haven't paid their rent, you know, and their lease is broken, then all that stuff they just throw out or whatever. I know
the phone number is also disconnected.
How long has it been? Like
I tried to go in there like last year, and it was, you know, this was like early last year.
Wow. Well, if they're not paying their lease and their lease is, you know, not their lease, if they broke their lease, then that you should contact like the people in charge of that building or.
I'm gonna find out something.
Have some kind of fire sale.
Well, I mean, with the T-Mobile store I was working for, they, you know, the dude took all the stuff, left. He ended up breaking the lease, and we were able to take really whatever we wanted. We got permission from them because, you know, they were gonna just throw it away.
Yeah, but that's different because you can't use most of that stuff without a contract.
No, I'm not talking about the cell phones. I'm talking about there was this computer desk and plastic shelves and all kinds of stuff. I mean, all kinds of stuff you could actually use.
Well, this is a comic book store filled with comic books.
Yeah. But the more likely of them thinking, oh, that's just junk. Sure.
But the shelves are cool, too.
Sure, yeah, if you want the shelves, let's just...
But that's all the more likely of them to say, oh, comic books, yeah, sure, take those. You know?
I'm gonna laugh really hard if they let you take the shelves but not the comic books.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. But DJ, shout out.
Definitely shout out to you guys for, you know, having me on the show. It's good to be here. You know, shout out to the usual guys I've been playing some Brink with lately. You know, I was playing with Poetic, obviously, and then Deshane, Paladin, Forgetful, Deekster, Knucklehead, Mongo Bear. We were all messing around at one time or another. And then, you know, I guess shout out to my roommate, Shoot the Yander, because he lets me use his Xbox all the time, which is super nice of him.
Well, you fixed it for him, too. So.
And in return, I fix his Xbox power brick when it breaks, and I get him newer games to play. And then, you know... definitely the people that we played some Call of the Dead with. We played with, you know, it was typically Poetic, Paladin, and I, and then sometimes Poetic's friend Shadow would join us. I know one night Grady Borders and B-Man were both, B-Man RS, were both in there at one time or another, so shout out to them. You know, other than that, just, you know, shout out to the Xbox Live Arcade, because I've been playing a bunch of games on there lately. There's some good content out there that's been coming out. And I think that's about all I got.
Yeah, basically, my shout outs are gonna be the same. You know, DJ, thanks for coming on. Shout out to every, you know, there's just too many people I was playing Brink with. I mean,
they know who they are.
Yeah, I mean, the first night I jumped in with a group, and that was I had to wait a little bit because there was a full 8 people, you know, and someone, I think Blue Man had to jump out of the party because he wasn't playing the game.
I was going to say, I don't think Blue was even playing the game in that party.
Yeah, so I jumped in and we had a full 8 people playing, and then I saw you guys, you know, had like 6.
I think we had 5 or 6 people in a separate group at the same time, and that was like Deshane and Paulden and Mongo and I and maybe a couple other people.
Yeah, I had like 12 or 13 people on my friends list who had the game, and a few who are game flying it. So
For all the people that were on the fence the night that all those reviews came out saying, hey, you know, maybe I'm not going to buy this, maybe I shouldn't have pre-ordered this, all that, they still did pick up the game, so the community is still there, as opposed to if everybody had gone the other way on it, there would be next to no community there for us. So, you know, there's still people out there if you want to play.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess, you know, like I said, if you want to play Brink or Call of the Dead, just, you know, hit me up or hit any of us up, and, well, not Stuart. Stuart doesn't have Brink, but
not Stuart for Brink, but
yeah,
it is in my Gamefly queue, so I will be getting it sometime.
Eventually.
Question mark.
Well, the only things in there that will be out by the time I get my next game, it'll be L.A. Noire and Brink.
I think I might just – I might have a friend that's picking up L.A. Noire, so I might borrow it from him, or I might just go out and rent it. But I don't think I'm going to buy L.A. Noire new when it comes out next week.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I guess shout-outs to his user. I don't know if he listens. Probably not. But Keaton, he's the guy who runs the Xbox Canada blog for not only putting me on – my opinions, but also putting Paladin's opinions on.
Paladin's opinions are more qualified to be on there because he lives in Canada. But hey, whatever.
Hey, I told the dude I was American.
Uh-huh.
I did. I got the email to prove it. But, yeah, and I guess, you know, this has been the Geeks for the Win, episode 44, take 2. And we will see you for episode 45. Hopefully, that'll just be a one take.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is Anthony Alex in What's Left of Alabama. I was just listening to the show and heard y'all give out the voicemail number again. Realized I had never called it, so just checking in, guys. I'm out on the mail route right now. You probably hear that big truck going by. But anyway, enjoy the show, guys, and